hard on that statement. If Bioscope is not going to be shown, and we must look in our paper presentations, can somebody take us through? I'm suspecting we are not tired. We're sharpening our brains when we're having a robust debate. Let's start to do that, honorable members, and the department take us through.
We're just almost till morning, Madam Chair. Yes. Good morning, Madam Chair and honorable members. Madam Chair, this agenda item expects us to indicate what the contribution of sport and recreation is towards the National Development Plan. And Madam Chair, as you rightly indicated, we have to use the documents before us. There is a PowerPoint presentation that has been provided, and to explain and to expand on the PowerPoint presentation, it was also a Word document, a very comprehensive Word document that has been provided as well. Now, Madam Chair, I'm just going to go through the PowerPoint presentation. If we're looking at slide number 2, when we looked at the National Development Plan, we had to look at the National Development Plan, see what injunctions are there in the National Development Plan, and then also look at the National Sport and Recreation Plan and say, within the National Sport and Recreation Plan, how do we ensure that whatever we've got in the National Development Plan also finds expression in our National Sport and Recreation Plan, which is our implementation plan of the white paper, sport and recreation. Okay, if we look at the National Development Plan, it calls for the sport and recreation sector to, amongst other things, to promote the sharing of public spaces and common experience. It further calls for transformation of the sector, adequate resourcing of school sport, the provision of sports facilities, encouraging communities to organize sports events, and also encouraging the corporate sector to invest in grassroots sports. And the National Sport and Recreation Plan, we call it the NSRP, it acknowledged that worldwide sports strategies are focused on increasing levels of participation in sport, as well as achieving success at an international level. And in giving effect to these two, the core work of our department is consolidated, therefore, in two sections. The Active Nation session, which talks about mass participation and giving opportunities and promoting optimal and healthy lifestyle. And then the Winning Nation, which focuses on preparing our teams for high performance or taking our teams from the development ranks towards the high performance rank. If we look at the next slide, you will see, you know, all the issues that's coming out of the NDP. I've spoken about that. Encourage corporate investments in grassroots sports, encourage communities to organize sporting events, leagues and championships, to provide adequate facilities and ensure that these are maintained, to adequately resource school sport, and to ensure that the demographics of each sporting code approximates the demographics of the country, and to promote the sharing of public spaces and common experiences. So these injunctions are out of the National Development Plan. Madam Chair, if we have to look at the first thing, encouraging our communities to organize sporting events, leagues, and championships. The department manages the Mass Participation and Sports Development Grant to further facilitate the delivery of sport and recreation through partnerships with the relevant delivery agents, such as the provinces. We have a grant of 620 million rands to help grow and maintain participation in sport and recreation. And to ensure this growth, the grant also provides for the capacity building of practitioners in order to enhance the sector's capacity. All provinces annually develop business plans that link with the allocated budget, and accordingly they report through the grant. They report throughout the year on how the funds are used. And the projects and the activities funded through the grant are spread throughout the four sub-programs. And the sub-programs are the active recreation, the community support, the school support, and provincial sport support coordination. In addressing the priority of rural development, the department supports the rural sport development program. That's the second pillar under the encouraging communities to organize sporting events. We work under the guidance of the National House of Traditional Leaders. The aim of the Rural Sport Development Program is to revive sport and to unearth talent in the rural areas. The program was conceptualized out of a realization that most of the disadvantaged communities, particularly in the rural areas and in areas under traditional leadership, still require a structured focused sports development program. Even though many of the communities in rural areas do host tournaments, there's no feeder. They don't serve as a feeder or a link with any structured sports development program. So we hardly see any growth, and there's no exit platform for athletes who may demonstrate any potential and talent. So this program has to close the gap. We also realize that from a recognition point of view, it was and the fact that it was so unstructured, there was no formality of how people are recognized, that at the end of the tournament there's a prize or there's trophies or the medals. I think what used to happen is the winning team would get a goat or a cow or a sheep. That was the incentive and the prizes that were given in the rural areas, in the rural sports development program. So we are trying to make sure that, you know, there is a pathway, there is grassroots development in a structured way and through this program. And then we've got the club development pilot program in KwaZulu-Natal and Limpopo. So these provinces are running the club development pilot program. And the resources to do so have been made available in the mass participation and sport development grant. And once this pilot is completed, it will also help us to deliver very clear norms and standards for developing and sustaining sports clubs. This is important, especially that at present the national federations are not taking ownership of community clubs at the rate that we expect. And I think the honourable member has raised this also with SASCO, that the national federations don't have a footprint in every part of the country. But obviously we have to also be mindful of the environment in terms of the infrastructure needs, etc. But wherever we can, and I'm sure this club development program then seeks to look at all of those issues as well. The program also speaks of capacity development of the office bearers. This is a priority also which the club has already shown to be a critical element, because obviously people don't know how to run a club. They need skills in financial management, in governance, in running the administration, in running meetings, etc. So, and therefore, there can be no question that South Africa's growth and development within the sporting sector is dependent on strong and capable administrations who can establish and sustain the respective clubs. The total budget for 2019-2020 to Sport and Recreation South Africa, I think the financial support pillar, our budget is 1.154 billion. Of this, 744 million is allocated to mass participation sport and recreation activities. And when we talk about this, this is inclusive. There's 620 million for the grant, and then the balance is within Sport and Recreation South Africa's voted funding. And this implies that 64% of the budget goes directly to sports development. The total allocation for transfers and subsidies stands at 855 million, which is 74% of the budget. I've indicated the money that goes to the provinces in terms of the grant. And then, Madam Chair, if we're looking at the provision of adequate facilities, which is the next slide, and ensure that these are maintained. If you look at this National Sport and Recreation Act, it ensures that sport and physical activity contributes to social cohesion by legislating on sports participation and sport infrastructure. And in terms of our responsibility, we've got to assist municipalities by providing technical and management support, because Madam Chair, I think it's quite we're quite aware that the competency for building sport and recreation infrastructure is the responsibility of local government. So our responsibility is to assist municipalities by providing technical and management support during the construction phase of sport and recreation facilities on an ongoing basis. And if we look at daily interactions on an equal basis, it builds social cohesion, there's common understanding, and these interactions will be promoted effectively when South Africans share more public spaces, and that is what comes out of the National Development Plan. So in regulating and managing the provision of sport and recreation facilities, an allocation of 33.5 million over the medium term will enable the department to strengthen its oversight of and support municipalities to improve the planning and delivery of infrastructure. We have various instruments like the norms and standards for building of sports facilities, and we've also got a classification system that indicates in an area where there is a smaller population, what the size of the facility would be, and how it will serve also the greater communication. And also in some areas we believe that the building of sports facilities can serve regional events to grow the economy. There is a classification system as well to say what a regional facility would look like, etc. So by definition, a sports facility is dependent on activity. So, and in terms of the National Sport and Recreation Act, provision of sports facilities forms the foundation of the entire sports sector. Because if you don't have sports facilities, then how do you deliver sports programs? So, and it serves as an enabler for achieving our targets in respect of transformation of sport. And if you look at the landscape, it's quite skewed. I mean, the previously disadvantaged areas continue to be disadvantaged because of the fact that there's no facilities for them to participate in sport. So since its inception, we have the ring-fenced MIG infrastructure grant since 2016-2017. We've allocated 94 projects between the inception year and up to 2018-2019. So there is an additional 22 projects that have been allocated for 2019-2020 financial year, and the implementations in terms of procurement of professional service providers to do designs have commenced in most of this project. So this brings a total number of sport infrastructure projects allocated by the department to 116. It's allocated in 112 local municipalities throughout the country, and 97% of the projects were identified by their municipalities and their respective communities during the IDP process. And the facilities, they're not only a platform for talent identification and development for participation in competitive sport and recreation, they also serve as social spaces for interaction, integration, socialization, and all of these things are what is expected of every department, everyone in terms of the National Development Plan. Two of the 22 projects allocated in 2019-2020 financial year are the refurbishment of a tennis precinct at the Mabato Stadium in Mahikeng and the construction of a new softball diamond stadium in Polokwane at Peter Mokaba Sports Precinct. Each of these projects have been allocated 20 million and 30 million rand respectively. These two facilities will give effect to the department's development rationale of a just distribution of sport infrastructure investment in all nine provincial provinces. Madam Chair, I think at some point we'll come with more details, but we're hoping that Polokwane will become the home of softball. So all national, international, so the precinct there is going to be of an international standard. So it's going to be of an international standard in Polokwane. And by the same token, Madam Chair, in the northwest, in Mahikeng, the tennis facility is going to be where you can have your you can host international. But the equivalent. With this investment, surely you're going to get a tennis precinct, international fixtures, the home of tennis. We're hoping that even Tennis South Africa, etc., that will become the the headquarters, the offices, everything is going to be based there. So that at least we don't say every time there's a big tournament or there's an international fixture, it's only going to go to Gauteng, to Western Cape or KwaZulu-Natal. So this is our legacy in terms of making sure that there's a spread of international facilities in other provinces. So that at the same time, I mean, we know that sports tourism is a great contributor to the GDP. So having a major international event will also mean that all other services that a province can provide will grow and grow the economy at the same time. So that's quite an exciting one. So the department made a commitment in 2018 to make Softball South Africa a priority federation and provide them with necessary support to ensure the revival of the code. So through our engagement, they had advised that Polokwane is the preferred location, and therefore, Madam Chair, it wasn't something that was a thumbs up. There was great consultation, and there's even initiatives for us to look at international facilities as a benchmark towards building this facility, so that it's not something that we just think of our heads, that we benchmark it against international best practices as well. With regard to the outdoor gyms, Madam Chair, we do provide outdoor gyms and children's play parks and recreational spaces created by municipalities. The outdoor gyms are very popular. In fact, wherever we've built it, they've been overutilized, because an outdoor gym is like what you would find. All the equipment in an outdoor gym is similar to some of the equipment you would find in your Virgin Active, etc. But it's more accessible. The community can use it at any time, and hence, Madam Chair, most of them are already being overutilized. And obviously, children's play park. Children must be must be encouraged to go out and play in open spaces instead of, you know, having the sedentary lifestyle of sitting before computers, playing computer games, and watching TV all the time. So the children's play parks are one of those that gives young children an opportunity to lead this active and healthy lifestyle. Madam Chair, we have been working with the Department of Environmental Affairs, Forestry and Fisheries as part of the greening and beautification of the open spaces. So where we provide the community gyms and the play parks, etc., the Department of Environment does the cleaning and beautification, the plants, the trees, and they would even bring bigger contribution of other things they could put in there as well. Madam Chair, I'm moving now to page 5 of the narrative report. And if you look at the slide here, there's a slide that says school sport, adequately resourced school sport, and that school sport is a flagship program. The funding of 33.7 million rand of the grant. There's 205 million of the grant for provinces. And then there's an MOU with the Department of Basic Education. We provide equipment and attire for schools, and we also have about 50,000 participants in district level and 5,000 for the school sports championships. And Madam Chair, I think school sport is a core deliverable for the department, and the bulk of our allocation of our budget goes towards school sport, because we remain committed to maximizing access to sport, recreation, physical activity in every school in South Africa. And we are unapologetic about rolling out the functional sport in schools. It will remain the flagship program in the department, the focus being devoted to implementing a long-term participant development model. Because for us, I mean, we have a coaching framework. Within the coaching framework, there's a long-term participant development model where you get young people participating in sport from school level, and we take them up the athlete development pathway. So of the projected 50,000 learners who are set to participate in school sport competitions at a district level in 2019-2020, 5,000 of them are expected to progress to participate in the autumn, the winter, and the summer championships. And as school sport participants, we also have them during the Indigenous Games Festival in September. We will also have school sport participants in the Indigenous Games participating in various Indigenous Games sports. We have allocated 33.7 million for these events in 2019-2020. and 2,205 million is said to be transferred to two provinces through the mass participation grant, and this is specifically for school sport. Okay, and then an estimated 2,500 schools, hubs, clubs are expected to receive equipment and attire in each year over the MTF to facilitate sustainable development. This may be a very small number, Madam Chair, considering that there are more than 25,000 schools in the country, but I think within our budget this is how far we can go, and obviously there are responsibilities that the Department of Basic Education also takes with regard to, in terms of the MOU we have with them, to deliver on some of those things as well. And for the success of our school sport program, we continue to regulate our relationship with the Department of Basic Education through the MOU, and this MOU forms a foundation for the successful transformation of sport in the country and brings in sustainability. The proper coordination will assist us also to channel all of our intervention in focused areas and integrate the efforts that will develop a clear talent pathway, because as I indicated, it is a bedrock of development. Young people, and I think Madam Chair, in the last committee meeting, we did indicate also that, you know, we cannot develop young people when they're much older. It has to start at school level so that we start teaching the skills of, you know, each different course. Skills development, physical education has to start at school level so that, you know, we can start identifying the talent there. And then the other issue is around the transformation, where we need to ensure, and this is also an injunction from the National Development Plan, we must ensure that the demographics of each sporting code approximates the demographics of the country. And from the quota system, we have learned that transformation is not simply about the racial makeup of the national team. The transformation audits that we have conducted through the Minister's Eminent Persons Group has highlighted what is happening across the whole sports system. The latest transformation status report of each federation includes that there are 19 federations that have been part of the transformation audit. So 9 of the 19 federations achieved 50% or more of their targets. And this is quite a great improvement overall. In the 2018 reporting period, we signed agreements with 14 sports federations, with 4 of those achieving 50% or more of their own self-set barometer targets. Madam Chair, we have a transformation charter with dimensions, and this is the one that we actually ask, and we sign agreements whenever we transfer money to the province, etc., sorry, to the federations, that they need to then achieve. But at the same time, there's a barometer where those federations, they set the targets themselves. So when we talk about the transformation report and the barometer is where the province, those federations set their own targets. It's not where it's imposed on them. So they set their own targets in terms of the barometer. And if you look at the self-set barometer targets in the first year, we are enthusiastic about the areas in which we have made the most progress. And this includes the number of black presidents of national federations, the representative of black individuals on the boards of national federations, the appointment of black CEOs, and the election of women on the boards of national federations. So this is significant, as leadership carries the responsibility of the philosophy and culture in an organization, and these performance measures must serve as milestones which are signposts the federation's transformation journey towards an accessible, equitable, sustainable, demographically representative and competitive sports system. So the area of concern is on coaches and referees within national federations, as it remains largely unchanged since the process started in earnest in 2012. And Madam Chair, the department also selects a federation each year from the 16 priority sporting codes to receive additional support to implement key priorities. Through this program, the identified sports federation receives much focused financial and technical support in an effort to reposition it and assist it to be self-sustainable. For this year, we have gymnastics is the recipient of this extra support in 2019-2020. The department will, as part of the program, support Gymnastics South Africa with an amount of 10 million rand in addition to the annual allocation. This support will enable Gymnastics South Africa to introduce focused programs, activities and competitions aimed at ensuring that gymnastics breaks the historical boundaries and is well positioned both domestically and internationally. So in addition to their normal financial support, sports federations previously selected for intensive support continue to get non-financial support in an effort to sustain the advantages gained. Previous beneficiaries are netball, and Madam Chair, we can see how far netball has come through that, you know, with their Premier League and now with their athletes performing or be playing professionally in international leagues as well. And tennis, basketball, boxing, hockey also the Premier League has grown, is being shown on television, getting sponsors into the league as well, and volleyball. And since the program in 2012, various leagues have been introduced with these federations enjoying more enhanced support and improved prospects for corporate sponsorship. The second edition of the Volleyball National League was held in Kempton Park in July. And the finals of the inaugural Softball Premier League was held in Athlone in June. So in our quest to attain a state wherein all South Africans will be proud of their national teams, government continues to support more than 60 sport and recreation bodies to ensure that good corporate governance is embraced by sport and recreation bodies and that programs and projects aim at promoting access and excellence in sport and recreation for all our citizens, irrespective of their race and gender, are implemented. Madam Chair, as our focus on women and sport continues, this has to be an area that is regularly assessed and monitored. There are many impediments to women's participation in sport, and we have a responsibility to create an enabling environment for women's participation in sport to thrive. Amongst the impediments are gender inequalities in participation opportunities, support for our athletes and jobs for women, as well as generally in the administration of sport. So gender equity will never be completed without changes in how people think and act about masculinity and femininity and in how sports are organized and played. To remedy this, the department has commenced with an extensive process of consultations and a provincial roadshow to solicit inputs and views on a discussion document that will culminate in the finalization of a women and sport policy. Madam Chair, I may add that we've completed the consultation in 4 provinces. We still have to have consultation in 5 other provinces and also then further consultation with our sports federations, with members of the media, etc., so that by the time we finalize that document, I mean, we have a well-informed document that will make it easy for us then to finalize the policy for women in sport as well. Madam Chair, the issue of promoting the sharing of public spaces and common experiences, the impact of sport in all its facets places a considerable responsibility on the National Department to ensure that sport and recreation is administered and governed in the best interest of all participants and stakeholders. To this end, the department, we will continue to transform the delivery of sport and recreation by ensuring, you know, equitable access, development, excellence at all levels of participation, and hopefully we want to improve social cohesion, nation building, and the quality of life of South Africans. And that comes up from our own mission for the department as well, Minister. Madam Chair. Madam Chair, in promoting participation in sport and recreation, the case for sport reminds us that physical activity has positive effects on the reduction of risks related to chronic lifestyle disease. So over and above the AIDS pandemic and the high rate of injurious and infectious diseases, the rising tide of non-communicable diseases affecting the quality of life and drive, and driving an increase in health expenses for South Africa. And for the South African government at large and its population. So it is indisputable that the economic development of a nation is highly dependent on the health of its citizenry. Therefore, in addressing this non-communicable diseases is of utmost importance for us as a government, and hence, Madam Chair, we have now a program called, or we have a campaign, which is the I Choose to Be Active campaign. And this I Choose to Be Active campaign, it's a 365 days campaign. It's intended to encourage South Africans to start to pursue and commit to a lifelong wellness of a physically active lifestyle. It's a movement calling on all South Africans, yes, every single one of our South African citizens, to step up and take charge of their health and wellness through regular participation of physical activities, and to also challenge others to join them. Madam Chair, on page 9 of the report, and if we have to look at also the slide that talks the promoting of active participation in sport and recreation and sharing of spaces, there's also the other pillar, which is the Move for Health. This takes place on the 10th of May each year. It is World Health Day. We also have the National Recreation Day, which takes place on the first Friday of October. And Madam Chair, this National Recreation Day has been approved by Cabinet, where the first Friday in October is the National Recreation Day. So we encourage everyone to participate in activities on that day. And then we also have the Big Walk, and the Big Walk takes place on the first Sunday of October. And particularly the first Sunday in October, we are affiliated to an organization called the Association for Fitness and Sport for All. And they have claimed the first Sunday in October as World Walking Day. So all over the world there are people doing a big walk in terms of promoting active and healthy lifestyles, and hence we have a big walk on the first Sunday of October. So both these, the Recreation, National Recreation Day, and the Big Walk, are also held in all the provinces on the same day as their national versions of the game. And we also, this year for the first time, we're going to have a I Choose to Be Active boot camp. It will take place in the fourth week of November this year. We are still busy working on the mechanisms and the activities that will be part of the boot camp. Move for Health Day, we have delivered in collaboration with the Department of Health. And as part of the event messaging, communities are encouraged to make physical activity a priority, and we promote fun and interesting ways to move. The day provides a focal point to generate public awareness of the benefits of physical activity in preventing non-communicable diseases. It's an annual event, global initiative, started in 2003 by the World Health Organization, and every year it's held on the 10th of May. Again, I've spoken about the Big Walk and the alignment to TAFISA. I've spoken about the Cabinet declaration of the annual Recreation Day on the first Friday of October. Madam Chair, the last paragraph, the department also assists the provincial departments by deploying our managers to oversee the youth camps. We have a youth camp in every province. It's a national youth camp, but it's actually filtered down to provinces. We don't have it in one venue, but it happens at the same time in every province. We have a system of ensuring that the program for the day is the same. It must happen at the in every province in the same way. They may change things to suit the provincial dynamics, but basic, by and large, 90% of the program is the same in every province. And an estimated 1,800 participants from various backgrounds attend these camps, where learners are taught leadership skills, life skills, and the importance of national pride. Mm-hmm. And Madam Chair, I think the important thing, there's a stratification system where we must ensure that in that youth camps, there are young people of every race included in there. And there are huge steps that are taken to make sure that that happens wherever possible. And the department, we plan to spend 3 million on the camps, while each province has an allocation as well from their mass participation grant. We also have a link to the Trailblazer Movement, which is a platform for all our youth camp participants to develop themselves and their communities further. So it's not a youth camp where people go there, young people go there, and they just go there for the week and they come back and it's all over. There is a Trailblazer Movement, which is a continuation of what they learn at the youth camps that they now have to now focus and implement in their communities as well. So the mission is to develop a movement driven by the youth pioneers, dedicated to what the theme of this youth camp is, to learn, lead and serve while impacting on the lives of others in their pursuit of nation building. So that is a big contributor to our social cohesion and nation building pillar, Madam Chair. We do have a partnership with Love Life in this youth camp, Madam Chair, where they provide the youth empowerment programs at sport and recreation events at the youth camps as well as at the National School Sport Championships. Madam Chair, the Indigenous Games Festival is hosted in September each year. It caters for participants in Dibeki, Diketo, Dristoki, Skati, Ntonga, Koko, Inchuva, Morabaraba, and Yukske. This is the biggest, our biggest contribution to Heritage Month, Madam Chair. And we also have an element of a carnival with arts, crafts, and African food village. Other related traditional activities have been incorporated, like a dance festival, a food competition, an African village where there's a mock African court, a traditional court. We have those there. And the nice thing, Madam Chair, this has grown now over the last 3 years, where in the traditional authorities, if there are real disputes taking place, they bring it there to the festival, and they run that court, the traditional court, at the festival, so you can see firsthand of how a traditional court is run. And I think that's important, Madam Chair, because our younger generation of people have no idea. Many of them have not had exposure to the Indigenous games that were played by our forefathers and our ancestors and everyone else. And also they would not know the whole broader aspect of African tradition. So I think this plays a big role. But importantly, in a broader context, Madam Chair, throughout the world there's world traditional games. So every country, there's an opportunity for us to take our own traditional games to a world traditional games festival. We've already taken teams to Indonesia. They've also gone to Lithuania. The next games is next year in Portugal, and we're hoping from this festival we take young people who have excelled, the teams that are winning teams in the competition. We try and take a few of them to actually go and showcase our Indigenous games at the World Traditional Festival. So, so this is a very, very nice project, and it's been growing over the years. And I think the element of the festival adds to the glamour of the competition, because, Madam Chair, we need to be very honest. It's not like a normal football match. If you're having a football competition or a tournament, or you're having a multicultural tradition, your normal codes of sports like football, netball, etc., you'll get people, spectators coming in. You won't get spectators to come in and watch Koko or Inchuva or Kachi. So we have to bring in a festival that will attract people, and at the same time we use that to sell the game. Mm-hmm. And we always use the example, Madam Chair, of the horse racing industry. The Durban July is a horse race, but by Tuesday, after the Saturday, how many people remember which horse has won? But they won't know what the fashion was.
The money. The punter got the money. He was always winning.
Yes. So obviously they'll remember fashion and which celebrity was there, etc. So you can see that it's also all those elements outside of the event that actually attracts great responses and interest as well. So that's a similar principle here, ma'am. Okay, and Madam Chair, I think also now that we're going into the Department of Arts and Culture, we're merging with Arts and Culture, there's this opportunity for us to actually collaborate on this project going forward. We already do have partnerships with them, but I think it can grow it and it can be more streamlined. Madam Chair, Golden Games, it's held in October. It's for older people. It's a partnership with the development of with the Department of Social Development. We also use the Unite campaign as a vehicle of social cohesion, where we've had our Nelson Mandela Sport and Culture Day. We saw many senior football teams and rugby teams participating in one stadium. We've also had a music festival. We've downscaled this event in recent years because of financial constraints, but we still have it's still part of the Unite campaign. And then, Madam Chair, the other injunction is developing talented athletes by providing them with opportunities to excel. For us to improve nation building, I think the demographics of our national teams need to improve so that as a united nation we can support a united, demographically representative team. And then in cultivating sporting talent, young people are given an opportunity to showcase their skills at the National School Sports Championships. There's also ministerial sports bursaries that are awarded to young talented athletes to enable them to attend verified schools that are focused on sport. And these bursaries are available for high school learners. They are valid for the duration of their school careers if they maintain their sporting achievements. Learners in the program are supported through the payment of school fees, provision of school uniforms and sports clothing, sports scientific support, and event attendance. The core consideration made in identifying the sports-focused school is that it should be excelling academically. They must have a rich history of sport. They must have the required sport infrastructure as an enabling mechanism. And these schools serve as a breeding ground for talent identification and development. At the moment, we have 60 sports-focused schools that have confirmed and verified across 9 provinces, and we hope to increase this number going forward. Madam Chair, the Andrew Mlangeni Golf Development Day. Here we aim to expose amateur golfers to professional tournament and to give them the opportunity to play alongside professional golfers. We also have the chapter, the Andrew Mlangeni chapter of South African, of the Golf Development Board, and it is based in Soweto and it provides approximately 50 young and aspiring golfers the opportunity to receive professional coaching and assistance with the equipment and attire. And encouraging excellence, we also provide scientific support to 80 athletes, which includes 40 emerging athletes with potential. And the purpose of providing the support to emerging athletes is to have a reservoir and pipeline for future high performance supports. It is also used to bridge as a bridge to access the operational excellence program that SASCOC has. SASCOC has the Operational Excellence Program where athletes now are identified for high performance like the Olympics and Commonwealth and other games. And they are identified in consultation with the national federations based on their meeting their performance criteria. We do have a athlete support policy and procedure manual. Madam Chair, we also in 2019-2020 we provide support to our district and provincial sports academies. And they are expected to receive about 68.2 million from the mass participation grant, and this should support a projected 3,700 talented athletes. The district academies, they are an integral part of the sports development continuum because they are linked directly to community sport and to the school sport program, and their job is to actually identify talent, so they select players and to develop them. And also they facilitate the access to our community sports facilities. Provincial academies, they are a reservoir for talent development of the high performance and elite athletes. So they nurture the athletes and accelerate the readiness for competition by employing advanced social and scientific and medical interventions. The provincial academies also provide support and capacity building to ensure that the district academies as well, to empower the district academies, and they also have a link to the sports focused schools. The National Sports Academy is at the core of the high performance sport and it's responsible for athletes and team preparation. In consultation with the South African Sports Confederation and Olympic Committee, we will oversee the establishment of the National Training and Olympic Preparatory Center. It will be based in Bloemfontein. We have been also working with the National Defence Force and the South African Police Services and the Department of Correctional Services have been approached to support talented athletes at their respective infrastructure. Historically, these initiatives produced exceptional athletes. So we have a program called Operation Victory Lap. We've initiated it in partnership with the SANDF and will continue in 2020. And then, Madam Chair, we have to also make sure that we award and we recognize excellence. So we do provide incentives and applaud individual athletes in terms and teams who continue to make our nation proud by displaying exceptional performance. We will continue to provide these opportunities. The highlight will again be the hosting of the Sports Awards in November. And we do have the Andrew Mlangeni Green Jacket Program. And this is a program that recognizes men and women who have excelled in sport either as players or as officials. And they are rewarded with the sought-after Andrew Mlangeni Green Jacket in recognition of their sporting prowess. And then the Ministerial Outstanding Sports Performance Accolades are awarded to deserving teams and individuals who achieve at the highest levels on the international sporting stage. And these awards are bestowed throughout the year, Madam Chair, because at some points you know that if the accolade is so great, you can't wait for sports awards because the criteria may not allow it. So you need to recognize them at the time when it happens. Okay, Madam Chair. We have also support to our high-performance athletes to achieve success. We've got 21.4 million over the medium-term expenditure framework. It's allocated for scientific support in the Winning Nation program. I've spoken about the 40 emerging athletes. This includes Olympic and Paralympic athletes that are supported by SASCOC through the OPEX. We also will continue to support the South African Institute for Drug-Free Sport. That's one of the entities, Madam Chair, of Sport and Recreation South Africa. And they manage the implementation of doping. And we do institute a transfer payment to them through our scientific support program. We also have a responsibility towards the World Anti-Doping Agency. We've also got to coordinate the responsibility of our South African Institute for Drug-Free Sport towards the Central Drug Authority, and we are an active member of the CDA, and through the Minister of Sport and the Sport and Recreation also serves on the Ministerial Interministerial Committee on Substance Abuse. Also, as part of our commitment, Madam Chair, South Africa has a testing lab, a drug testing lab in the Free State. It's the only accredited lab laboratory by the World Anti-Doping Agency in Africa. We've had serious challenges with them and they lost their accreditation for a while, but we've now assisted them to actually get their accreditation back. So they have been re-accredited, they are fully accredited now, and we will support them to ensure that at any level that, you know, they are a functional one, because we have our athletes in Africa, and I think that's also our contribution and our commitment to the continent, because we have athletes and countries sending their blood, their urine samples, etc., to Europe and other parts of the world to be tested, and it's a very, very expensive exercise, and also in terms of the accuracy, etc., transporting them, it's not a reliable system as well. Madam Chair, we host a SASRICON. SASRICON is a South African Sport and Recreation Conference. It always takes place a year after the Olympic Games. We hosted it in 2017. It did not take place late last year or this year. We'll only now host it in 2021. And then, Madam Chair, we also acknowledge that the NDP acknowledges that South Africa has been positioned as a conference and sports event destination. And in an effort to perpetuate this, selected national and international sporting events, exhibitions and conferences will continue to be used to showcase South Africa as a sports tourism destination. Through the major events sub-program, we will provide institutional and intergovernmental support to these events, and importantly, we're looking at maybe 4 major events that are getting support, etc. But if we're looking for now, Madam Chair, we are hosting the Netball World Cup in 2023. We have already started with the support to Netball South Africa towards that. And then the other issue coming out of the NDP is to encourage corporate investment in grassroots sports. Financial support by corporates in sport is still an area that requires attention. The current economic situation in South Africa is a threat to broad support of grassroots sport by private sector. And it is varied, you know, there is support, but it depends on the popularity of the sport code. And efforts are also being made at a provincial and municipal level. And the support of a code at national level has the effect at grassroots level. So if the national athletes go back, because they always go back to their local teams as well. So corporate investment, that's an area that greater work that is required. Madam Chair, that brings me to the end of the presentation that indicates the alignment of our sports program to the National Development Plan. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much, DG. Good day, Honorable Deputy Minister. We did get your apology. You started from the Cabinet Committee. Thanks that you've joined us. Honorable members, I'm suspecting it's straightforward, and now is the time that you must ask questions. I'll start from that other side. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In that order.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. Chairperson, I've got 2 questions. The first one is on school sports on the flagship program. Chairperson, it's been told, we've heard here that there's 33.7 million, that, or that's been spent, a lot of, or most of the budget actually been spent on the school sport flagship program. My first question on this is, I see a lot of events taking place, etc. But shouldn't it first start on the grassroots at school itself, number one, where physical training, the old PT classes that took place. I was on this committee in 2009, actually, and I was still on sport and basic education on the select committee. There was an MOU already at that stage that the Department of Sports and the Department of Basic Education would get together, that teachers would be trained again as previous times, so that teachers can actually have a period in which they can teach children or give children physical training, because obesity was one of the issues that we were handling, etc., etc. Now, I've not seen that in any curriculum taking place except in some of the old Model C schools. Now, this is the so-called old privileged schools. What's happening in our disadvantaged schools? Are there any physical training taking place? Are there any teachers being trained? Because it's obviously not happening through the Department of Education. So I want to know, what has the Department of Sport been doing? Have they been educating teachers to actually give such a subject? Now, my second part of this part is on actual training of teachers to give sport in the afternoons to children, specific sports codes. Sporting codes, as for instance cricket. There used to be a time that a teacher had to go and do a course through the Department of Sport, and he was actually accredited with a certificate that he can give cricket as a specific sport, or basketball, or whatever the sport code might be. I want to know, why is the department not taking part in such projects to actually enhance our school children from the start, so that we can actually get school children to become sportsmen? Now we're having mass participation, which is happening in China, which I fully agree with, because that is very important. We've seen the Chinese model that's working well. But we don't have any teachers at this stage, as far as my knowledge is concerned, that is teaching, except in the so-called privileged schools, where there are professional sport trainers that come afterwards that train children, but because of parents that can afford it. What about our children in the disadvantaged area? So that was question one and two almost included. Then on drug testing, Chairperson, it was said to us that drug testing, our only facility is in Bloemfontein, which I understand. I know actually exactly what's going on in that. As I was in provincial sport, I know exactly about doping. I know our previous Honourable Chris Hartung, that was also the chairperson of Doping SA at some stage. Now, I've got a problem, and you are saying that we lost our accreditation at some stage. I want to know how long was this stage that you talk about that SA lost accreditation on doping, and was there any testing done in that period? If not, what happened to those, if there was tests being done on doping, let's say, for instance, in cycling in that time period that we lost accreditation? What is the status quo on that? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Faber. Honourable Musiki.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to refer to the issue of MIG Sport Infrastructure Grant. Some of the municipalities, they don't use this money for building the infrastructure for sport. Other than that, they are using it to be diverted to water and other things. So I wish to know, what is the, does the department do the follow-up on that one, on those municipalities who are not using this money effectively? Secondly, there are stadiums that are being built or were built by local municipalities, which some of those stadiums were not finished, and some of them, they are not even in good condition just to play on them. So what is it that the department is doing to correct that thing? And lastly, on the school sport, the department is supporting all the codes with the exception of athletics. So when it comes to athletics, both track and field and cross country, the department is not funding that. Have you tried to resolve the issues that you have with the Committee of School Sport in Athletics? Because learners in other codes, I mean, like in winter and summer codes, they even go to an extent where they will get bursaries. But those who are participating in athletics, there's nothing that they are receiving. There will be cross-country on the month end of September for school sport, and SRSA is not supporting that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I only have one question. The SA Doping Control Laboratory, I just want to know whether the department has given VARA assurance of intended financial support.
Thank you, Honourable
Chase. Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. I just want to get clarity on the issue of rural sport development program, which is said to be under the guidance of the National House of Traditional Leaders. Because I've never seen, heard, or been told about the traditional leader that is being involved in sport where I stay. So I want to get clarity on that, so that how does it happen? Because I've never seen, heard, or been told about it. Again, Chairperson, so they talk of the 94 projects that have been allocated since the inception of the 2018-19 financial year, that is regarding the MIG. Perhaps this question might have been posed by the other member, but I want to check now the turnaround strategy around this MIG, since now it has been misused all the time around. So what is the turnaround strategy this time around? So there was this memorandum of understanding that was signed between basic education and sport and recreation. How successful it is, this, because it always failed. So I just want to check now, is it successful this time around? So what are the indicators, therefore, if it is successful? I'm sure I'll be getting to the last one. Yeah, the golden games, Chairperson, for the old people, adults. That is taking place only in October. For the purpose of getting these people being old, the old ones being healthy, can't it be swatched there? Because of the purpose to keep these people, that are the old adults, to be healthy. Not only in October, because they would not expect them to be healthy in October, then the other ones, they're not healthy. So can't something be done now? Then today, October now, must be something that is major. So any support, perhaps, that can just be given to these adults. Then you talk of the provincial academies in the districts. So as there are 44 districts now, besides the members. So are there in all these districts now, do we have these district academies? Because in Alfred's, or when I come from, I've never heard of this. Perhaps I'm not being told, but I want to check now. Is it happening now, this issue of the district academies in the districts? Thank you very much, Shepard. I'm sure that is all.
Firstly, I must say we appreciate the presentation. You guys are doing a very wonderful job. Sometimes there's no need to lambast for no good reason. Maybe I might have a question or two. Firstly, on the the facilities, sports facilities that you built. What kind of a criteria do you use? Let's say in villages, do you consult with the local municipality there, or what kind of a criteria do you use? The second issue is with regard the ministerial fund. Yes, that one. Which schools do you take these learners to? Because I remember we used to have a school of excellence. Do you remember that? Is it that kind of a school or what? Yeah, I need clarity on that. And what happened to it? Because I know you produce a lot of stars. You have Stephen Binar, Stephen Lekolea, and so on. So I want to know what are these kind of schools that I was talking about. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Members. Mr. Melchingos, sorry about that.
Thank you for the presentation. Would sound like a broken record. Honorable Faber has actually hit on what I wanted to ask, and I'm still going to ask it anyway. it's a beautiful presentation, and it's colorful, and it talks about the vision that we all would love to see, but I wonder if it is happening everywhere in South Africa, as I've asked last time, that is it for every area in South Africa, or is it for selected places? If I heard correctly, you spoke about the championships that would be in bursaries that would be given to these youngsters with history of sporting, and I'm wondering if it is going to be helping those that don't have any background of history, but with raw talent and the great sporting. What is the department doing into rooting out those raw talented youth from the obscure, forgotten places of our societies, of our country? And wouldn't it be a very good idea for the department to locate and make better of the places that we always see around our you know, townships where you see young kids, you know, playing their soccer, cricket in dusty places, and would it be a better thing to make those places, you know, better for them to grow, you know, their sporting facility, the acumen and everything. And I would go back again and ask about what was, what is your actually, I don't remember what was your answer about the doping of our best 800 athlete, Ocaster Semenya. What is the department doing? What support is it given to her? And is she fine? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable DG and Honorable Deputy Minister. The only thing that I can ask is how far are the projects of the money that was not given to each department, instead was given to COPTA when we were having this cry of meek. These additional projects that were written down, is it upon that money that we asked, and by this time do they follow the format of spacemen by each department? Because last time other municipalities, they didn't want to follow the criteria of the spacemen because each department wanted to do that. Also, which is not in this presentation, I wanted that next time can we be briefed on preparations for the International Netball, which is going to be hosted here in Western Cape, Cape Town. I'm saying that we wanted to finalize our program as a Parliament of Oversight. So we don't want to go and ambush the department here or the committee or whatever. Next time when you're coming back, please ensure that we are giving us the preparations, because if we're not starting now, in order that as a committee of sport national, we must be hands-on, knowing that what is going on and where needs to be, we can assist. Want to do oversight. The Western Cape is not the metro. They've got even the rural areas of Southern Coast, West Coast. We need to take an oversight to check, one, the stadiums, two, the preparation, especially now that we have launched the league of netball, to check how do they do, in order that everybody must be part. But so far, we're thanking so much about the briefing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Let me recognize also Deputy Minister for attendance and colleagues. Thanks a lot for the feedback and the questions, Chairperson and members. There's a lot of issues that have been raised. I'm going to respond to some of them, and I have Mr. Sumpiwe Ngobe, who's the Chief Director of Winning Nation, will also respond to some of the questions within his space, and Mr. Makwela, who is our Director of Strategic Management. Madam Chair, the issue of school sport, I think it will always be on our agenda. School sport is a bedrock of sports development. And I think we need to be mindful, Madam Chair, that anything within schools, a lot of the responsibility falls within the Department of Basic Education. So the issue of physical education, it's a subject matter, it's a curriculum issue. So obviously the Department of Basic Education takes responsibility. Capacity development of physical education teachers, obviously it's a more broader perspective you need to look at, because for us, if you know that physical education is a subject in the school, then obviously the tertiary institutions will offer courses that would then capacitate teachers of physical education as well. Over and above that, you know, in any school there's teacher development, capacity, etc. So the issue of physical education and school sport and any activity that must take place within the school is the responsibility of the Department of Basic Education. And Madam Chair, I don't want to preempt the resolution of the last meeting where the chairperson had indicated that there should be a joint session between both the portfolio committees of sport and basic education where we can really go into detail. But just at a high level, I think the roles and responsibilities are very clear that within Department of, I mean, Sport and Recreation South Africa, we do not get into the space of the Department of Basic Education. However, in the memorandum of understanding, yes, to respond to that question, last year we signed a new memorandum of understanding between the former Minister Khalsa and Angie Motshekga. So they signed that last year already in March. So, Madam Chair, there is a new MOU in place. We have it as a standing item in our management agenda that there must be a report on how the MOU is being implemented. So with regard to training, so that's the MOU and that's how we're managing it. We can provide, as I said, Madam Chair, when we have a dedicated session, I think we go into details with regard to that. And then with the mass participation program and children at in disadvantaged schools, I mean training of teachers to deliver school sport, Madam Chair, as part of our mass participation program, there are various things that the provinces have to deliver in schools. We cannot get into every school, most definitely. So obviously there will be a number of schools that will benefit from the provision of sporting equipment, attire, and training of educators in different codes of sport. And our focus has to be on those areas, those schools that have the least access. And I think we've confined a lot of that programs to quintile 3 schools, because those are the schools that are most deserving in terms of resources. Madam Chair, in terms of the drug testing, Bloemfontein, the laboratory, I think the laboratory lost its accreditation, because Madam Chair, to get it, the World Anti-Doping Agency accredits the laboratory, and there are very stringent requirements. The laboratory had a huge turnaround in terms of their management, their senior management. As a result, they were not getting enough resources, and because of the lack of resources, they could not. The WADA came up with a new anti-doping code, which was more stringent in terms of what their requirements and what a lab should look like. So on the basis of that, they lost their status. It was for a short while. I think it was for about a year and a half, 18 months. But we supported them, we assisted them to make sure that there were systems in place. And through SAIDS, our anti-doping, our South African Institute for Drug-Free Sport, our agency and entity, through SAIDS, we also assisted them to make sure they meet some of those requirements. And then they regained their status last year sometimes towards the end of the year. But during that time, all of the drug testing was still happened, but SAIDS, our South African Institute for Drug-Free Sport, had to now send samples to other parts of the world, a lot of it to Doha and the Middle East and then to Europe and elsewhere. So the testing of athletes still took place, but it was taking place outside. It was at greater cost as well. So for now, I think we on the road, I mean, we have been reaccredited, so it helps a lot. And we are also encouraging our African countries to ensure that they use our lab, because a lot of them go to other parts and at greater expenses. So we're working with our own African Union Sports Council, Region 5, to ensure that, you know, and they've indicated to us that maybe there should be some package that we come up with in terms of the cost of drug testing, because it's quite an expensive exercise. So maybe for the African countries, we come up with a package that makes sure that they actually support our own institution instead of going outside of Africa. Madam Chair, this is a whole presentation that we would need to do at some point, because I think we're all aware, historically, money that was allocated to Sport and Recreation South Africa for infrastructure development in 2004 was consolidated within the municipal infrastructure grant, like other smaller grants. Unfortunately, as much as yes, there was an amount, a percentage, 15% towards community amenities, but there was no will on many of the municipalities. There are competing priorities, and as a result, sport suffered the most. So in the past, with the building for sport and recreation program, which was within sport and recreation, there was a plethora of facilities that were built. But that amount was reduced, because when the money went into MIG, MIG goes to the individual municipalities. The funding was not ring-fenced, and hence, obviously, the money was then swallowed up or used for other priorities of each individual municipality. It has been a challenge. We've been working very closely and asking for that funding to come back to sport. But in 2016-2017, we managed to get some sort of a compromise where an amount of money, at that time it was 300 million, it was ring-fenced with COCTA, with a national COCTA. And we then had to go out on a program to say, where do we want facilities to be built? So that 300 million then would go to those municipalities. So no funding came to sport, but we had to identify the facilities, or identify those municipalities where those facilities will be built, and COCTA would then transfer that money, and they would use that money. It was ring-fenced for those facilities. So the figures that I'm putting here, Madam Chair and colleagues, is that those facilities that will come now, or from 2016-2017, is from that ring fence amount. However, it doesn't preclude the municipalities from still making sure, using the balance of their money for the building of sport and recreation facilities, because there are municipalities that may not benefit from that 300 million, but they still have money within their budget to build sport and recreation facilities. So in terms of the grant framework, we have to provide that technical support. We have to make sure that we also oversee the fact that they build those facilities. And I think, Madam Chair, we do have our own capacity constraints as well to go and do all of that. But we are now working and ensuring, trying to encourage our provincial counterparts to make sure that in each province, if they are infrastructure personnel, then how is it that they also monitor that those municipalities use the funding for its intended purposes. But, Madam Chair, I must say it is a long battle. We've come a long way in terms of where we were with MIG and where we are now. It's not completely an ideal situation, but we constantly have our very small staff on the ground making sure that at each year when the process starts, that we engage municipalities, we work with our provincial departments of sport, ensure that, you know, there are programs that are, I mean, the projects are within the integrated development plan. Because if the projects don't get into the integrated development plan, it's very difficult then for us to say we have to provide those facilities. So there is a process in place in terms of how the facilities are registered. There are timelines. We put out calls to municipalities to ask them where do they require the facilities, etc. So, but ultimately it is up to the municipalities themselves to ensure that they make that call. They prioritize sport and recreation infrastructure within the IDP. There are council resolutions around that. So from outside, whatever we can do as best, we try and we make sure that there are processes in place as well. But on an ongoing basis, we are lobbying also the municipalities to make sure that sports and recreation facilities. Madam Chair, the other issue is, as much as sports and recreation facilities are built, there's always a challenge with the maintenance, the operations and maintenance of facilities, because MIG will cater only for the infrastructure, for the building of infrastructure. But municipalities need to make sure that there is funding for ongoing operations and maintenance. So if you look at some of the facilities not being finished, not being playable, it's because of the fact, it could be many factors. It could be that there's poor consultation on the ground. The facilities may not be what was intended or what the community addresses itself to community needs. But obviously it is the municipalities who have to actually take that responsibility. And we find many of the facilities not finished, etc., because of the fact that money intended for some facilities are now given to other projects, and hence we find facilities are not. But we are constantly working with COCTA. COCTA has their own dedicated personnel as well from a national level. We attend quarterly meetings where we engage with municipalities as well. As this, it is a perennial problem and a challenge, Madam Chair. And it's something that we're also looking at to see how, where there are facilities, especially from our ring-fenced funding, we make sure that if you look at the facilities that we've built through the ring-fenced funding, we would hardly get a situation. But I know that 2 or 3 years down the line, we'll have to review it. If we go back to a facility, you will find there's an issue with operations and maintenance. I'm going to ask Mr. Ngube to speak about the Rural Sports Development Program. I've spoken about DBE MOU. The MOU is there, Madam Chair. And we are, as I said, we are on a quarterly basis. We actually have an improvement plan, and we monitor that improvement plan. The Golden Games, Madam Chair. The Golden Games is something that it's the lead department is the Department of Social Development. But obviously, we're encouraging young, older people to pursue active and healthy lifestyle. So it's recreational in nature. We provide support, but the lead department is the Department of Social Development. We do note the sentiment that has been expected here, and we will make sure that we factor it in our engagement with the Department of Social Development. With regard, we note also, Madam Chair, the preparation for the international netball, the Netball World Champs World Cup in 2023. Madam Chair, we have presented this just before the new administration came into being. We are taking this matter to Cabinet, and once we've taken the matter to Cabinet, we will bring it to the committee as well, Madam Chair. Can I hand over, Madam Chair? Oh, the CUST. Oh, sorry. Thanks, ma'am. Madam Chair, this issue came before this committee in the last meeting, and as I indicated, we have three pillars of support to CASTA. The one is with regard to a medical team that we put together of experts to look at all the medical issues. We've also put a team of legal experts, Madam Chair, to support and to look at all the legislation. And I did indicate that much of our support is based on the fact that our own constitution provides the right to our citizens to participate in sport fairly and freely, etc. So already, if you look at the UN from a human rights perspective, there is support from the United Nations, and this was endorsed at the General Assembly as well, the support to CASTA. So we've got the legal team, we've got the medical team, and over and above that, Madam Chair, we have an advocacy and mobilization campaign for the greater population of South Africa to support CASTA as she moves towards the next stage of the court case. So there is support, Madam Chair, around that as well. Madam Chair, can I just ask for my colleagues to also provide input?
Madam Chair, good afternoon. I'm going to touch on the Rural Sport Development Program. When the program was conceptualized, the idea was that we will work very closely with the National House of Traditional Leaders as the focus of the program is mainly in terms of communities that are within the traditional authorities. We then had to agree on certain fundamentals, and one of the things that we agreed on was that given the limited resources, we will start off with about three traditional authorities per province, and as the year progresses and the program progresses, we'll then add, depending on also again the availability of resources. The traditional, the provincial houses of traditional leaders are responsible for the identification of the traditional authorities that are participating in the program. So in the first year we started with three, but we have then since increased the number of traditional leaders to five per province. And in provinces where there are no traditional leaders or there's a limited number of traditional leaders, because we do acknowledge that, for instance, in the Western Cape, there was an indication that there are no traditional leaders, traditional authorities. Therefore, the focus was on farming communities. So they actually identify the farming communities. Gauteng, yes, there are about two traditional authorities that are involved in the program, but there isn't enough a number of traditional authorities in that space. Therefore, they've also identified the farming communities to make up for the five programs. Initially, the program was shaped in such a way that we then had a national competition, which was held for the first time in Bulugwane. However, after that national competition, there was a recommendation that perhaps the program should, for now, focus at a provincial level and end at a provincial level with the hosting of the traditional authorities games. So that is how the program is shaped. And we are hoping that as we build the program, perhaps there will be some agencies that may come in and begin to assist so that we can then reach out to as many traditional authorities as possible. So I think there was acting DG, we're still getting used to the new portfolio. The bursaries, the ministerial bursary, how it works is that firstly, the athletes are identified during the national schools championships, and they are identified by the federations. So the federation would, at the national schools championship, send the scouts who will then, for the duration of that week, look specifically at identifying some of the athletes that are showing potential. They will then give us the name as a department. Having done that, we will then take those athletes to Bloemfontein for a scientific assessment to determine whether indeed what the eye saw is what the scientific assessment will also confirm. Having done that, then they would be put on the program so that they can then benefit in terms of the ministerial bursary. We then work with the federation together with the school in which then they are placed to make sure that they then get the necessary support for the duration of the stay. They have to perform both academically to continue to go on the program, as well as in terms of sporting performance to continue to be on the program. Now, in terms of the schools, the sports focus schools, because you've got the ministerial, the bursary, you've got also the sports focus schools. And the sports focus schools, they are identified by the federations in the respective provinces. The basic criteria that we set was that, given the fact that we may not have the infrastructure to re-establish all, we may not have the resources to re-establish all the infrastructure that is required to have a sport focused school that is at a level that would actually support an athlete that is about to break into a level of being an elite athlete. We then said we need to look at the existing schools that has got a history of a certain exceptional performance in a particular code, and that school must also have the necessary sporting infrastructure, must also have the existing a human resource in the form of coaching and other technical expertise in that particular code. And so there is minimal investment in terms of the upgrading of that school so that it can actually be able to then house the athletes that are identified to be on the sports focus school program. So I do acknowledge that there obviously is a need to build capacity in all the schools, and there was also a question that was raised on the training of educators. We also do train the educators through the SCORE program, but that training is specifically looking at the sports-specific training of the educators, not necessarily on the physical education part. So there is work that is done there. SCORE has got a set target of number of educators that they actually need to train over the next five years. I'm not sure whether acting teacher, there is any part that I have missed. Okay, then Manasseh would speak to the district academies.
Okay, thank you, Chair. There's the issue of support to athletics. I know there were times when there were clashes in terms of scheduling with regards to the federation, because the fact is that we wanted all the coaches that participate to be included within the scheduling of our segments of the national school championships. But of late, from 21 to 24 March this year, we had a secondary school athletics championships that formed part of our autumn segment of the national school sports championships. That was held at the Nelson Mandela University in the Eastern Cape. So there is that improvement now in working with athletics, because our practice is to make sure that all these codes are supported, because as they develop, it's to the benefit of the country and not just leaving out other codes. On the rural sport, my colleague provided the response adequately, but just to also remind the members that when we presented on the APP, we provided a detailed report that indicates in each province which traditional councils will be working with contact people as well. So just a reminder on that, honorable members. The issue of the academies, in each province we have district academies. It's just that in some provinces you may not necessarily see a fiscal structure where you'd say this is this particular academy. Most of these academies have hosting agreements with, it could be a school or a municipality. So you may not see a separate building like you'd see a school where we say in there it's that academy. There is, in some instances, for example, in the Free State, in one of the districts they use a mobile academy. In the Eastern Cape in particular, the Honorable Member asked about Alfred Nzo. Eastern Cape supports 9 academies, including the Provincial Academy and including Alfred Nzo District Academy. So all these provinces do have district academies. The issue is just that you may not necessarily see that fiscal structure, but yes, there's still some work that needs to be done around the academies to ensure that the standards that are set nationally are being followed throughout the country. For example, when you look at Mpumalanga, you ask about the provincial academy. they would not show you that, unlike with other provinces. Mpumalanga has a unit within the department that provide support services that in other provinces is supported by a provincial academy. So there's still those issues that we need to work on to make sure that there's that standardization throughout the country. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Acting DJ.
DJ.
Sorry, and the others. DJ and the others for the department. They were saying after signing the MOU, are there regular consultations between the two departments after signing the MOU? And the MOU signing, did it end up here between the minister and the schools? Or does it go down to the local schools? Did they get the information about the MOU? And regarding the municipality facilities, how does the department ensure that the sport facilities at different municipalities are well maintained and accessible to the communities? And the last question, with the current system and programs in place, is the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture confident that it will achieve its goals as set by the NDP? Thank you.
Honourable members, I'm seeing other hands now. We've got stamina, even the food is going to be cold. Honourable Mandlingos, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. It just came to my attention that we've been talking about the supporting for abled persons, but very few input has been put for disabled. I don't know whether that term still used. People with challenges. Is there anything that has been done for people with disabilities? And if it is, what is it? And how far is the department making sure that people with such challenges are being catered for? Thank you.
Thank you so much. Any responses? Okay.
Thanks, Madam Chair. With regard to the MOU, the MOU has been signed between the Minister of Basic Education and the Minister of Sport and Recreation. Madam Chair, we do have structures in place. For example, there's a structure, a committee between ourselves, a task team between Sport and Recreation and the Department of Basic Education. That's our joint task team. Then we have a joint national task team, which is ourselves as a national department and all the provincial departments of sport and the provincial departments of education. And we have clear points of reference of what each of the institutions do. And then we have another task team where we bring in the sports codes, because we focus in school sport, we focus on 16 codes of sport. So then we have a structure where those sports codes are there to make sure that it is, that the program that we agree to or what we have in the MOU that we try and make sure that we implement. We do have an implementation plan with timeframes, etc. Yes, not everything on that implementation plan has gone according to the timelines, but we're constantly actually reviewing it to see where we are, where the challenges are, etc. So that's in place. Whether it's been cascaded to the school level, Madam Chair, I cannot vouch for that. We can find that information, because I do know, I mean, I suspect that schools, maybe schools do not know there's an MOU between the Minister of Education and Basic Education. and sport. But I know from a communication perspective, when this happened, there were media releases, there was a signing ceremony that was quite well publicized on our own platforms, and we've also sent out to the media, etc. at that time. But ideally, yes, it should have gone to every school through the channels. Our federations and our stakeholders are aware of it as sport and recreation. Departments, how do we ensure that facilities are well maintained? I think, Madam Chair, that's a difficult one, because it is not the prerogative and not the core business of Sport and Recreation South Africa to see that facilities are well maintained. It is the responsibility of local government and the municipalities. So, however, we do have instruments and manuals, etc., to see, you know, what can be put in place. We do have an operations and management manual that we've come up with when we were making a case for funding to come back to sport and recreation. We had to put mechanisms in place, because there was always this question, you're going to build facilities, how do you manage it? So we did put some guidelines in place of how operations and maintenance can take place. We do have that. We've shared it with municipalities, and we do share it as well now as we build sports facilities. But obviously the responsibility is there. With regard to disability sport, Madam Chair, you know, I must indicate we streamline all of our activities. Even if we look at the transformation charter, it is one of the dimensions of how do we cater in terms of access. We have to cater for people with disabilities. If you look at the money that we give to the federations, wherever federations cater for both able and disabled participants, athletes, technical officials, etc., they have to report to us. In terms of our financial and non-financial framework, we have included it in there. There are codes of sport that focus on disabilities that we give. The South African Association of People with Physical Disabilities. There's deaf sport as well. So Superior will further explain. But also, Madam Chair, we realized in school sport, there's able-bodied and disabled athletes. And we've realized, Madam Chair, when we looked at the number of disabled athletes in the school sport championship, or the percentage of school of disabled athletes at a school sport championship is actually more than what the norm is for the country in terms of the population of disabled people. So, for example, if we're saying that the population of disabled people in the country makes up 8%, the number of athletes with disabilities in our school sport championships is about 15%. So, in fact, it's oversubscribed if you have to look at that as a norm and standard of the number of athletes that should be there. So we do cater for people with disabilities as well, but I'm going to ask Sumpiwe deals with sports federations, and he can also attest to how we work with the sports federations.
Thank you. On the we provide financial support to disability-specific sport organizations, and these are your South African association, Sport Association for the Physically Disabled, as well as the Association for the Intellectually Impaired, as well as Deaf Sport South Africa. So they get individual allocations, which more or less will be equal to what is given to the federations. But over and above that, there are specific codes that we will then, when we transfer, for instance, to Tennis South Africa, we will then identify a certain portion that is ring fence for disability. So as wheelchair rugby, and so as wheelchair basketball. So although it doesn't happen with all the codes, but there are specific codes where we'll actually ring fence and designate a certain portion of the allocation to care for disability sport.
Another one, members. Thank you. Today, this is the most important day that we have started
9:30 until this time, and as this committee, we're still going to call, because what just now we are responding, Simpiwa, we need those things or information in writing. So sometimes there are those who are very young, brilliant. There are those who are young at heart that just forgot what you are saying. But if the documents were given both of the categories, make no mistake, even the young at heart, they got memory, they do read. So I'm seeing that there are still hands, but if I can't control my meeting, we can sit here until 6 p.m. If somebody is going to ask just straightforward question and not do a preamble, I'll give it. Those two hands is Honorable Jayiza and Honorable Adams, and then the last one, Honorable Nhlong.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was just going to propose if perhaps we can get something to grab something to eat. Then please. Because from someone not to say anything today is very much strange and unusual.
You know, I've even seen, you know, honourable members, when we're in the parliament, everybody must eat, but most members are still contributing. That's why the food are not put outside. You wait for members to grab the food and the visitors, who are all visitors, irrespective of which corner you are coming. So, because we differ on the sickness, I've seen other people, visitors, that they're starting to grab food, but I'm suspecting they have the same problem that we are indicating on it, honorable, because food is for everyone, but sickness are different from, you can be young, you can be old. My DM very...
Chair, you came late, you want food, I don't understand why. You just came in now.
Honorable, started from other committees. Can I give you, honorable members, you must be very sensitive if we've been taking so long, but brief to the point, because in reality, we need petrol to move.
Thank you, sir. It was just the last question that you didn't answer about the system and programs in place. Will the department achieve the goals set out by the individual?
Achieve goals or not?
Will they achieve the goals set out?
Or indeed. Oh.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I want to ask on you lead this letter, write the letter on our behalf. You know, we've never received invitation this term. Your big walk, it was there in May, if I'm not mistaken. It's a big walk in October, but there was a walk in May, which we're not invited. Yeah, and there's move, you know, all these events. Tomorrow, there's an event to say farewell to Ama Bogo. And we're not invited, and usually we have delegation. I'm not saying all of us. We usually have delegation as the norm, chair, you know. Can this be emphasized to all events? The minister was in Johannesburg, I was embarrassed. In fact, she was deputy minister, she was in Soweto. which is just to say hi, it's up and bye. Thank you, chair.
Honorable member, you can maybe really laugh at these things. we used to say, even the minister, even if it's not the Minister of Sport and Recreation and Deputy Minister, then they were going to our constituency. Mm-hmm. They will go there and they leave those people with us, those people who ask us questions. So let's re-emphasize, we have started now, May, when we were not yet in Parliament in May. So we're here now. You still remember, we even that other time not invited for the first time in the scorecard presentation. It was abnormal. So I'm saying maybe it was another Parliament. Let's be invited. But with the games, especially of the federations, it's members that they must indicate to Uchepesin to ask tickets, and some they do give us tickets. But because of culprits, I've asked, I'm declaring that tickets must be given to me. I can tell why. Culprits were not all honest. So I'll ask from EEE committee members to give me the authority that those tickets must not be written your names, because immediately that you have a problem not attending, they don't want that I must give another member. Could you believe that? So as Uchepesin, I know that if Honorable Krongo applied for a ticket, they know, I'll say, call Honorable Krongo, did get the tickets. Maybe I'm not even around, but I'm trying to say, let's be involved, because let's not go to doing the oversight, but when we need to see the oversight of these players playing there, in action, we are just forgotten. I'm not going to mention the federation that I was saying to themselves, even if it's five tickets, but I know we're not five, but I know what, sometimes we can't go all of us. We have a right. Yesterday, honorable members and other honorable members, they just come yesterday asking the tickets. I was not even aware that Chiefs and I don't know, and Cape Town City, they are playing. They just came early in the morning. We can't do that. We must be organized. Immediately that you see the match that you are interested to go and check, how are they playing, doing oversight, tell the chairperson in time. Even if not chairperson, I've got the office. Yeah. The office is always there. Yeah. We must do things professional. But what I don't like, I'm not going to tell which federation. If I've asked five tickets, they will ask names.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, one comrade can't come. And that ticket they will be giving to their friends. So I would love to have I would love to have tickets, if tickets are five. And I would say, this is the member who's going to, they must be written, chairperson, most part of recruiting. I've got sometimes tickets disappearing, and I allocate. And I allocate according to the interest first of the committee members.
Yeah.
The meeting is closed.